this year is going to be a good year. I know it because I've heard it and I know it in my spirit. And it's going to be a good year because we are going to lay hold of him more than we ever have before and go his way. And if that's your plan, if you can say, yes, I'm going to do that, I just want you to raise your hand. Okay, most of you, that is great. That's a good plan. It's a winning plan. And for those of you who didn't raise your hand, I'd reconsider if I were you, basically, because he's good. God is the best. He does the best. He everything about him is the best. And our small, finite brains can't contain him. They can't contain everything he does. And we only see and know in part, don't we? Do you know that? I'm sure you're well aware of that. We see and know in part, but he has the whole picture. Did you know that he can see the beginning of your life and the end of your life all at the same time? I find that mind-boggling. You know, he sees the beginning of your life and the end of your life all at the same time. He sees the beginning of your children's lives, your great-grandchildren's lives, and the end all at the same time. And, you know, if we listen to him, he'll direct us away from danger. Because he sees where the pitfalls are. He sees where the kind of minefield explosions are going to be. And if we'll listen to him, he'll direct us away from those onto a path of righteousness for his name's sake and for our blessing. No good thing will he withhold from him whose walk is upright. And, you know, on this path of righteousness, there's goodness and mercy. I'm sure most of you are very familiar with Psalm 23. He sets us on a path of righteousness for his name's sake. And it's so that goodness and mercy will follow us all the days of our lives, rather than trouble and condemnation following us all the days of our lives. I would rather have goodness and mercy following, wouldn't you? I'm up for that plan. And that really is God's destiny for you, that goodness and mercy follow you. And most of you will know the overarching theme that the Lord has given us for this year is destiny. And I think we've got a slide for that. Destiny. God's destiny for us and God's destiny for you. And I am curious to find out what that looks like. Are you? I really am. Although I have to admit, if I'm being absolutely honest, some days I think about destiny and other days I don't. You know, I'm becoming more and more aware of destiny because I'm hearing it more and more. I'm speaking it more and more. But there's some days I'm more aware of it and other days I'm not. But I realize that I need to cultivate in me a desire to know him and know his plan. And that's true for you. You need to kind of cultivate the desire to know him and to know his plan. Because there's a lot of opposition to it. For those of you who were here on Wednesday, Pastor Judith made this comment that stuck with me, and I'm sure it stuck with all of you who were there. And she said, we're at war for our destiny. You're at war for your destiny. Because actually, the enemy, who is very real as God is, he is. And he is hell-bent on swamping us with natural life. Wanting us just to really be overwhelmed by it so that God doesn't get a look in. So that all your time and the affection of your heart goes to other things. You know what I'm talking about, don't you? We're constantly bombarded, really, by the need to do other things and the need to kind of consider other things and go other places. And one of the words the Lord spoke to me personally this year was more Mary, less Martha. More Mary, less Martha. And for those of you who know your Bibles, basically that means more attention on Jesus, less on the other things, you know, more sitting at his feet, talking and listening to him, less running around, getting worn out and anxious about many things that really, from God's perspective, don't matter. You know, you'll find, I'm sure, that a lot of the things we kind of worried about a week ago or even a few days ago, now they're not even, we're not even thinking about them. And we get kind of so focused and caught up in the moment of things which in God's perspective don't really matter. And so I am determined to keep God's perspective on life this year. Because it changes the way you approach life, doesn't it? You know when you've got God's perspective on your day, it changes the way you do life. We were in Italy, as most of you know, we were in Italy over Christmas. And I have a testimony about ice cream that is relevant. Basically, we were in a gelateria, is that how you say it? Or David and I were, we went and had this ice cream. And I have to say, it is one of the nice, let's hand it to the Italians. They know how to make a lot of stuff, particularly ice cream. And I had the nicest ice cream I have ever had. It was kind of vanilla. If I close my eyes, I can almost taste it. It was vanilla. It had chocolate in it and kind of nuts that were kind of coated in the chocolate. But it wasn't the Nutella one. It was something else. I found it was like, you know, this treasure. I'm like, right, I'm having that again. I'm clocking where that is in the cabinet. I'm coming back. I'm having that again. So anyway, I was telling Pastor Judith and Sam, we've got to go and have this ice cream. Okay, this is the best shop. They do the best ice cream. We have to go there. So we go to the shop one evening, and I marched in. And in my mind, it was on the right-hand side of the cabinet at the back. Well, they'd moved it. They'd rearranged the containers. And I was so cheesed off because I couldn't remember the name in the Italian. I just knew its position. And I was like, oh, no. You know, I've got to, like, search for hidden treasure now. Which one? There's like 40 of them. Any of you who've been to Italy, you'll know. It's just like endless. And they're all good. This is the thing. Well, not all. Most of them are good. Anyway, I said to San and I were standing at the bar. I said, right, it's that one. I'm sure it's that one. So we ordered two of those, and San went to get it off the girl. Anyway, she took one spoonful of hers and pulled this face, and I was like, that's not a happy face. And she said, it's not even cold. It's like marshmallow. So I tried it. I'm like, that is so not it. I said to the girl, I'm sorry, that's really not what I was expecting. And I'm trying, you know, you kind of talk slowly and loudly, don't you? No. Niente. No good. You know. And it's really, it's a bit embarrassing, but you just kind of go into that, you know, stupid English traveller abroad. But anyway, I managed to get across. We didn't want it. I wouldn't be paying for it. I'd choose another one. So I went off to kind of scan the cabinet again to find this amazing ice cream. Meanwhile, she absolutely went off on one in Italian at San, shouting at her, where is your friend? Because I'm sure I just kind of disappeared into the crowd. She'd lost me. But San took it all. It's kind of the wrath of the Italian ice cream seller. Anyway, I came back. She told me, I'm like, well, I was horrified. That's terrible, isn't it? That she gets such a telling off over such a simple thing. And I was starting to get a little bit annoyed on behalf of my friend. Anyway, we sat down. We're retelling the tale. And David just started to laugh. And he said, come on, let's not fall out over an ice cream. And we were like, oh yeah, it's only an ice cream. And I think life is like that. You get caught up in the drama of the moment and the kind of intensity of the moment. But in reality, it's just an ice cream. And, you know, okay, it was a ranting Italian and, you know, you don't get too many of them in Taunton. And I'm well aware, of course, there are other challenges that come our way that are more meaningful and kind of more personal. But the thing is, if we've got God's perspective on life, let's not fall out over somebody trying to steal a parking space. Let's not fall out over, do you know what I mean? Whatever it is, somebody at work that's a little bit, you know, go behind the back or whatever. When we've got God's perspective, you can just kind of breathe a bit easier. You just take it in your stride a bit more. You take it with a pinch of salt. There's more grace operating, isn't there? So really, God's perspective, he changes our days. He saves us from stupidity. He saves us from making silly mistakes, from wasting time, from making decisions, actually, that weaken us and get us into trouble. And I want to share some verses with you. I love these verses. If we could have Psalm 94. It says, the Lord knows the thoughts of man, that they are futile, pointless, ineffective. But blessed is the man whom you instruct, O Lord, and teach out of your law, that you may give him rest from the days of adversity. Blessed is the man whom you teach, O Lord, and instruct, O Lord, and teach out of your law, that you may give him rest from the days of adversity. Doesn't that sound delightful? Don't you want rest from days of adversity? I know I do. For sure you do. Who wants? You know, you don't beckon it on. You don't welcome a day of adversity. Nobody wants that. Rest from strife. Rest from trouble. All the things that cause heartache and pain, really. And if you just think of that as a description or a banner over your year, 2015, rest from days of adversity. This life is possible for us. Or let me put it to you like this. This life is within your reach. If you will take hold of his instruction, allow him to teach you out of his law. And I think that is a scripture to stick up in your kitchen somewhere, on a mirror, on your phone, wherever you look on a regular basis. Get that word in front of your eyes, because, you know, we kind of just need to make a mental note to self. I need to pick up his instructions for today. Because who knows, destiny doesn't just fall on us. You know, if you think of it in terms of athletics, you don't do a couple of jogs around the block and suddenly next year you're put in for the Olympics. It takes time. There's steps to get to your destiny. And it's one right choice after another. Whatever the Lord has for you, you may know what it is, maybe you don't. He certainly knows what it is because he knows the plans that he has for you. But whatever that is, it has to be walked into. And it's step by step through relationship with him, listening to his voice, and putting into practice the things that he tells you to do day by day. And I've got another scripture for you. Psalm 90 verse 12 says, "So teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom." Don't you love that verse? Teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Every day is valuable. Because today's choices, as you fully know, affect tomorrow. Physically, financially, spiritually, whatever it is, what we choose to do today will affect tomorrow and the day after that. And I read an in-flight magazine on the way to Italy, and I have to be honest, normally I just flick through the shopping one, but I kind of flicked through that, was a bit bored, and thought, right, I'll pick up the business one. And shock and awe. So I read the business magazine, and in it was an article about this watch called the Ticker. And the Ticker is not an ordinary watch. It doesn't just display current time. Those of you who don't know what it is, it's quite shocking what I'm going to say, but bear with me. It actually displays your predicted time of death in years, months, days, hours, minutes, seconds. So this time is obviously, it's depleting constantly. Obviously the seconds, minutes are going pretty fast. And this prediction is based on your age and your nationality and other kind of statistics. And I know no man is going to tell us when we die. Because with long life, he will satisfy us and show us his salvation. And I heard that actually the Copelands, for those of you who know Kenneth and Gloria Copeland, they're believing to be 120. So they're going to beat the Ticker for sure. But and so will we. However, personally, I found it quite thought-provoking, let's put it that way. And in a way, I thought it's quite a good reminder of this. You know, to see the Ticker going down, it teaches me to number my days, you know. And that's the whole point, that we value our days. We value the seconds, minutes, days, weeks, months. And, you know, in doing that, we become wise. If you value your days, you give second, third and fourth thoughts to the choices you make, don't you? And what you live for. So we've all been given this allotted time on earth. And the Bible actually says we're made by him and for him. Just say to the person next to you, I am made by him and for him. We're made by him and for him. And you know, life only works well when we live it for him. None of us here know how long we've got, let's face it. Even if, miraculously, we live to 120, it's still only a dot in time in comparison to eternity. And so we need to make it count. We need to make it worthwhile, not just live it, but live it for God. find out this higher plan and apply ourselves to it. And one of the points I wrote down as Pastor Judith was speaking last week, that was a really good point. There were many of them, but this one really stuck with me, is we need to live with God consciousness. You and I need to live with a greater God consciousness. And two verses that are often quoted to people, particularly if they're seeking direction. Proverbs 3, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean on your own understanding, but in all your ways, acknowledge him and he will direct your paths. And I love those verses, but I believe the key really to developing God consciousness is in those verses in Proverbs 3. In all your ways, acknowledge him. Acknowledge him in all your ways. And we need to train ourselves to get into the habit of doing that. We need to train ourselves to become more aware of his presence. And one way we do that really is through acknowledging him. When you wake up in the morning, acknowledge him. As you're making a cup of tea, acknowledge him. You know, whatever, driving the kids to school, walking the dog, whatever you're doing, acknowledge him. Because he's there with you. He's present with you. You can't see him, but he's absolutely there. If you're born again, his spirit lives in you. And I've written down here, we need to become frequent worshippers. Frequent worshippers at home, in the car, wherever you are. When no one's looking, lift your hands. Or just kneel before him. And if you can't do that because you're sitting in your car in traffic, you can still worship. You know, keep your eyes open, but you can still worship. Don't just be a programmed worshipper. In church on a Sunday or when you're in a meeting, just be spontaneous about your worship in the course of your day. Not because you should, but he deserves it. And we love him, so we worship him. And so it's just developing this habit of turning our attention to him, just a few minutes here, a few minutes there. Jesus, thank you that you're here this morning. I love you. I love your presence. It's so great to be with you. I just exalt you in the here and now. And then somebody walks in with a coffee and you carry on your day. But it's with a heightened awareness. God's with me. God is here. Good. You liking this? Praise God. Our potential in God is amazing. Mind-blowing. Your mind actually can't contain it. And so your mind tries to shelve it. But your spirit knows what's possible. You know, we, as Pastor Judith said during communion, we don't get it all. We get it in a, such a small, simple way. But that's okay. Because your spirit knows. Jesus, he is my resurrection. He is my redeemer. Your spirit knows things that your mind doesn't. And bit by bit, the Lord graciously gives us understanding. But just, you know, worship him for what you know and worship him even for the things you don't. Just worship him because he's worthy. And you've heard this so many times, but I'm going to say it again because it's true. We are here anointed and equipped to be like Jesus in this world. And my gosh, this world needs Jesus, doesn't it? Your neighbors, your work colleagues, your family, they need Jesus. And the Lord doesn't need to be hyped up. I love, you know, the music that we have here in church. And we're so blessed with the worship team that we have. But out on the street or at home or at work, you don't have that. But you don't have to have sensationalism. You don't have, God does not need to be hyped up. If somebody's in pain, you don't need to stick on, I mean, I'm going to, this will be dated now, but stick on a CD or kind of, you know, put a speaker on your iPod. You just pray. And if you're conscious of God in you, you'll pray with faith and Jesus will work. And so all of us actually have the same amazing destiny. Whether you're a stay-at-home mum, a teacher, a farmer, an electrician, whatever your job is, it is to know Jesus. Not just in theory, but just to know him through relationship and to make him known. And the way that will be at work will be different for all of us. Because Jesus through you is unique. I'm so glad about that. You know, he doesn't want us all to be clones in a way. It's your personality, but Jesus through you. Your personality surrendered, submitted to him, but then Jesus through you, which is unique. But that's what the world needs. He always makes us a better version of ourselves. Did you know that? But the goal is the same, the spirit is the same, and it's to know Jesus and make him known. Turn with me in your Bibles to Psalm 84, and we're just going to go through some scriptures together. It's quiet this morning, which is a good thing. Okay, Psalm 84. I have to say, this is probably one of my favorite psalms, all about dwelling with God. And I was reading it the other morning. I was actually reading it out loud, which is a good habit to get into because it keeps your attention. If you don't read it out loud, your mind can wander. Top tip. If you read it out loud, your mind kind of has to stay on the job. So I was reading it out loud and I got to verse 2. And I'm just going to read it to you. It says, I'm reading from the New King James, but it says here, my soul longs, yes, even faints for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. And I have to say, I was convicted that I wasn't quite there. I wanted Jesus, and I want Jesus, but I knew I couldn't say it's exactly like that. I mean, I will pray it, because it's good to call those things that are not. Do you know what I mean? Like, I'll speak it and pray it over my life. But in all honesty, I realized that that passion David had, I'm not quite there yet. And I was convicted then that that is something I need to cultivate. I need to get to the place where I can honestly say, I'm fainting to be with you, Lord. I'm just crying out, my heart, my flesh, my body, my soul. I'm crying out. I'm just longing to be with you. And the thing is, our souls can get satisfied and preoccupied with all sorts of things, can't they? They will be different. I mean, if we went round this room, there'd be so many things that we get caught up with in our thinking and in our hearts. But if we're not careful, Jesus, he doesn't get any of us. He doesn't even get a look in. And like Martha, to go back to that more Mary, less Martha comment, we get distracted by so many things. And the many things tire us out. And the many things don't just tire us out, it's even worse. They stir up our flesh. The many things stir up your flesh. You get agitated and kind of consumed and bothered by the many things. And we make our excuses, which just fall to the ground before the Lord. But yet we repeat these same negative patterns. And I don't want to do that this year. I don't want to get tripped by the things I got tripped by last year. And I just want you to read verse 5 with me. It says, blessed is the man or woman. Whenever you read man in scripture, there's neither man or female in the spirit. So man, women, that includes us. Blessed is the man whose strength is in you, whose heart is set on pilgrimage. And I want to ask you a question this morning, and I want you to really think about this. What do you find strength in? I think we've got a slide here. What do you find strength in? What do you find comfort in? What gives you confidence to go on? At the end of a bad day, what do you turn to, or who do you turn to? Just think about that. Maybe it's your friends. Maybe it's your family. Maybe it's your job. Or things that you do well. Your ability and your talents. And you know, the Lord has given us people and talents to bless us and help us and help others actually. But those people or those talents can divide our hearts. They can consume our time, and they actually often compete with the Lord for our time and attention and the affection of our hearts. So we're just going to read verse 5 again. Blessed is the man whose strength is in you, whose heart is set on pilgrimage. And this year, I just want to encourage you to take steps to allow God to become your strength. Whatever it is you need to do to allow him to become your strength, do it. Let him be your go-to first, rather than your kind of final straw. Well, nothing else has worked. I suppose I should pray about this. I just feel weak. I feel weary. This is tough. Lord, I'm coming to you because you're the strength of my life. You're the strength of my body. You're the strength of my mind, even my emotions, my will. Just be with him. And as you be with him, spend time with him, strength comes. It's supernatural. Lord loves to strengthen us, actually. But he waits to be invited. And, you know, we shouldn't just do this on a bad day or a crisis, you know, when we're in a crisis. But every day, set your heart on following him. The heart has a tendency to drift like a dog. You just got to bring it back and bring it back and bring it back. Set your heart on following him. And so that might, probably will mean you need to make some changes. Make some changes in your day to allow him to speak. Set his word before your eyes. Don't keep it in your bag Sunday to Sunday. Set it before your eyes during the week and let him speak. Let him instruct you. If we let him, he will teach us how to live. As simple as that. If we let him, he will teach us how to live and how to live well. Right, go to verse 10. Last few verses. For a day in your courts is better than a thousand. We were singing it this morning. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of wickedness. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from those who walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man who trusts in you. Blessed is the one who trusts in you. And I was thinking about those words, grace and glory. It's good. You know, if you don't understand something in scripture, don't just gloss over it. Just think about it. Or go to your word wealth or go on your phone. What does that mean? Grace and glory. Okay, Lord, you're going to give me glory. What does that mean? Grace means favor. Glory means goodness. He's a sun and shield, and he gives us favor and goodness. I think the NIV actually says honor and goodness or something like that. But he gives us grace and glory, favor and goodness. So as we share our days with him, we become recipients of favor, the goodness of God. I know you know this. I know the majority of you in this room will have seen it to different extents. But it's like, come on, this needs to be more of a, rather than a just once in a blue moon, the Lord wants this to become a description of our days, you know, daily. And the more I go on with the Lord, the more I realize how practical he is. You know that, don't you? Those of you who've walked with the Lord really for years know that he's a very practical God. He wants to speak practically into situations. And I went to the supermarket the other day, specifically for soup. And I got there. It's amazing. I don't know if this is the same for you, but when I know I'm going to the supermarket, even if it's just for the one thing, a list very quickly develops. It's remarkable because you don't want it to be a waste. Let's make the most of it. I'm making the journey. I'm going to get stuck in the traffic. Let's make this really worthwhile. So you go in. Initially, it's for one thing, and on your list, there's six. You go in, and I got what I thought I needed, and I got back in the car. I put the key in the ignition, and the Lord said, soup. I'd actually forgotten the very thing that I'd gone in for. And I was so relieved. I had a big smile on my face. Thank you, Jesus. In I went, battled through the crowds, got the soup, got back in the car. I'm happy. And the thing is, I know it's a small thing, but to me, that's... it's grace and glory. It's the favor and the goodness of God. I didn't have to go back later in the day or go back the next day. It was like here and now, Lord, you've saved me a lot of hassle. Thank you. You know, thank you. You're a compassionate, gracious God, and you are practical for the way we live life. You know, just as we depend on him, I'd committed my day to him in the morning. And then, you know, he directed my steps. It was great. And this is it. He wants to be involved in every part of life, doesn't he? Every part of life, just ordering our steps as we live conscious of him, acknowledging him. And bottom line, we're made for more than natural life. Just say to the person next to you, let's make it personal, I am made for more than natural life. And most of us here have jobs, and some are raising children, grace. Most of us are busy doing whatever, and the Lord understands the season. However, whatever we're doing, we need to see he's essential for every part of life. Every part of life. We need him for every part of life. Not just this and that, but it's all right, Lord, I can manage that. You know, we need him for every part of life, all of it. We need his perspective for all of it. And there's a scripture which a lot of you will be familiar with, Hosea chapter 4 and verse 6. It actually says, my people are destroyed from lack of knowledge. That knowledge there, it's not natural knowledge. We're not destroyed because of lack of information. In fact, we're the most informed people probably on this planet to date. We've got too much information and knowledge. But we're destroyed because of a lack of God's knowledge, a lack of revelation knowledge. His revealed knowledge equips us. His revealed knowledge equips you for life. You know, maybe you hear him in the morning, put no confidence in your flesh. Right, okay, Lord. That's going to mean I'm going to have some opportunities today to get a bit riled. Put no confidence in your flesh. Or keep no record of wrong. Whatever it is, just one sentence. You can live on one sentence, can't you? Just that one sentence that comes to you in the morning or in the evening, whenever it is you have your time with the Lord, it drops into your head and your heart, and it's like, right, okay. I can live life with that. But I find that word perish quite interesting because it's not a kind of tame word. It's not a small word. It's quite a severe thing to perish. And there's no middle ground. We either thrive or we perish. You either thrive with revelation knowledge or you perish without it. I know that's true. And I'm sure in your experience, you will know that's true as well. And so we have a choice every day. In the same way you choose what you're going to wear, you choose whether you tune into God's voice or not. And it's really not difficult, is it? Come on. We're his sheep. We're designed to hear his voice. You know, we just need to acknowledge him, put his word in front of us and let him speak. And so I know the destiny of God for every one of us this year. It's on this slide, is a greater dependence on him. A greater dependence on the Lord. And when I say that, I mean a dependence on the fresh word. Not the word you heard last week or last year. You know, they're good and they, you know, all the word of God shapes how we do life if we let it. But he wants to get a fresh word to us each day. We need to live, Jesus told us, by the preceding word. So getting the preceding word, honoring it, lifting it up above everything else. You know, like Mary carried the word in her heart. She carried it round with her. We need to be like this. And so really to summarize, there are three main points I believe the Lord wants all of us to get this morning, myself included, if I could have them on the screen. The first point is a need for God consciousness. There is a great need in your life for God consciousness. In my life, there's a great need for God consciousness. The second is the need for the preceding word of God. What is the Lord saying to you today? The one who sees ahead, the end from the beginning, the end of your day, from the start of your day, what is he saying that's going to equip you for that day? We need the preceding word of God. And the third one is a bit unusual, and I'm going to explain it. But the third one is a need for desperation, a recognition of your need of God. Because we can get so settled in natural life that we don't realize really that we've accepted something so inferior and so beneath our potential. We kind of live down here the same as non-Christians do, really, apart from we've maybe got better values or better standards, you know, and we turn the other cheek and all that kind of thing. But at the end of the day, we still get defeated and bogged down and consumed with the same things. And we're not meant to live low level. We're here for a higher purpose. You are on this planet for however many days, regardless of what the ticker says. You're here as long as the Lord wants you here. But our days are numbered. We do have an allotted time and we're here for his purpose. But God consciousness on its own is not enough. It's great, but it's not enough. The word on its own is not enough. I'm going to be radical and say that. The Bible on its own is not enough. The Pharisees knew the word, but they didn't know the person. If you turn to John chapter 5 and verse 39, I'm kind of going to finish with this. These words impact me every time I read them. And it says, Jesus, he's talking to the Pharisees and he says to them, "You search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. And these are they which testify of me. But you are not willing to come to me that you may have life." You read and read and read, and yet you're not prepared to humble yourself and come to me. that you may have life. True life comes from Jesus. We can't get it from anything else. The life, actually, that we need, you can't get it from another person, from a job promotion, from things going well in your personal life. It doesn't come any other way except through the person of Jesus Christ. And so we need to go to him to get it. Just doesn't happen automatically because you're a Christian. You know, you have to go to the person to get it. The tax collector, the prostitute, the woman caught in adultery, they all recognized their need of Jesus. And they had an encounter with him and they received life. They received his grace and they received life. The Pharisees, they met Jesus and they knew the word. They quoted it, they tried to trip him up with it, but they didn't ever receive his life. And I don't want to go through this year knowing a lot, able to quote some stuff, and yet not really having his life, living in the good of it. And so if we're going to walk into his destiny this year, there needs to be an edge of desperation in our hearts for Jesus. Lord, I can't do life and I won't do life without you. Without your voice instructing me today and tomorrow. And unless you're in a crisis, desperation for the Lord doesn't happen. It's amazing how in a crisis you kind of do get quite desperate quite quickly. But unless you're in a crisis, desperation doesn't just fall on you. You actually have to cultivate it. And the way you do that, you know, two things we know are obvious. Prayer, but let's not get religious about it. Just talking to him and listening to him, having a relationship with him, reading his word, but also reading spiritual books. You know, listening to some messages online. Instead of putting your favorite secular album on, put some praise and worship on in the car or some praise and worship on at home. Take opportunities to invest in your spirit. And I believe these three points, if we'll act on them, will bring us into our God-given destiny this year. I intend to do those things. I am applying myself to do that this year. And I just really want to encourage you to do the same. And do you know what? He fills the hungry with good things. Luke 2 tells us that. The hungry reach out to him and they get to experience his grace and glory. And I want to finish with this. It's a little bit of a side note, but it's an important side note. The Lord spoke this to me at the start of the week, that he wants to remove the line between secular and spiritual in your thinking. Yes. He wants to remove, I'm going to say it again, he wants to remove the line between secular and spiritual in your thinking. Because once you're born again, there's no such thing as a secular job. I'm going to say that again. Once you're born again, there's no such thing as a secular job. You actually lose the right to say, I have a secular job. You can say it to non-Christians because they don't understand anything else. Although you don't even need to say it because to them it's all secular, isn't it? But you don't have a secular job because if you're living for him, even the job you do, you do for him. You do with him in mind, conscious of him. Colossians 3:17 says, whatever you do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. Recognizing him, worthy of him, conscious of him. We carry the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords into every situation, into every day. And we need his revelation knowledge to thrive.
If you would like any further information on Kingdom Faith Southwest, please contact us on 01823 664 186 or overseas visitors 0044 1823 664 186 or log onto our website at www.kingdomfaithsw.com.